It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network, live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning on this Easter weekend, Masters, 79th Masters weekend as well. And I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. We're live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. I'm going to go right up to Crescent Beach, Florida, and bring in the wisdom, the wise, and the mayor of Crescent Beach. And he is John Rieger, PGA of America, teaching professional, a man with many hats in the world of golf. And this is his favorite. Everybody that loves golf, it's their favorite weekend of the season, and I'm looking forward to our show. We've got Lynn the Growler Strickler. He's going to be on and share his stories of being on several Hall of Famers' bags at Augusta, and we'll get his perspective on the on being a caddy in these type of conditions. We're brought to you by, of course, Sea Dogs and Shrimpies, Ice Pick and Shipyard, and I'm going to fumble, bumble, and stumble all morning. The beauty of automation, I have a script that I stick fairly close to, and has my guests, everything lined up, probably an hour's worth of preparation. Computer crashed at 10:25, so we'll still rock and roll, right, John Rieger?
Absolutely. Hey, it's great to be on the Tee Florida radio this week, and I can tell you this is probably my favorite week of the year, the Masters Championship. And if you've been following the John Rieger Report all week, you'll see that on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, stories and links about interesting things about the Masters. And we've been doing this every day. And if we started out on Monday with just general information about the Masters, and then we started getting into the Tuesday Champions Dinner, and all these John Rieger reports on the Tee Florida all have links to be able to read some interesting things that you normally wouldn't hear on the radio or maybe read the newspaper. Wednesday, we focused on the Par 3 Championship, and of course, Thursday was the first round, and it started off with the honorary starters with Nicklaus Player and Tom Watson. That was a real treat. Hey, and for our listeners out there, you can download the Masters app. I highly recommend it. We're having a lot of fun with it. Yesterday on Friday, you know, we were focusing on some of the interesting things about the Masters and the first round and, you know, how will Tiger do and those kind of things. But in that app, you have fantasy golf. You can actually have your own little league. So Wild Bill Stareau put together a Backyard Golf Association league, and you know, we've got just friends and family on it. We're just having a great time. Even the wives are having a great time. They may not necessarily know who to pick, but they see the big names and they pick them. And Mrs. Rieger, right now, she's in the lead in our little fantasy league. So download that Masters app. So this week's John Rieger report was aptly named Masters Mania, the 2023 Masters Mania. Today's post was moving day. We got a little moving van. Picture of the moving van going down Magnolia Lane. Moving day at the Masters is basically just like any other championship where the third round, Nicklaus always would call the third round moving day. That's when you got to move up the leaderboard if you're going to have a chance in a 72-hole tournament. So the third round is moving day. But right before I posted that this morning, I had to add an umbrella to it because it's rainy all day at Augusta National, which brings me right into Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, and it's going to be from Augusta, Georgia. And if you were watching on the Masters app or if you're watching on ESPN this morning, you would see that it is raining. It's raining hard. The cut got to +3. You know, Tiger, you know, bogeyed the last hole, and he thought that he would be out, and you had Sungjae Im and Justin Thomas who had the, you know, par in on 17, 18, and Tiger would miss the cut. They both bogeyed, so now Tiger, and they both missed the cut, but Tiger's in now at +3. He didn't look like he wanted to play the weekend. But at Augusta, it's going to rain all day long. The hourly forecast right now calls for a little gap. It's been raining hard all morning, but about 1:30 in the afternoon, it's going to be showers all day, showers all night. It'll break in the morning, so this might be the first Monday finish since probably 1983, because I'm not sure if they can get any or all the round in later today to be able to complete the third round. But anyway, that's the Wild Bill Golf Weather Report from Augusta, Georgia, brought to you by Yank and Crank, which is extreme fine fishing fashion. And if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, we have a website that we have all of our sponsors, and you can actually link to Yank and Crank and buy a hat. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Mike. Do you want me to go ahead and go down the leaderboard a little bit for everybody?
I actually have gotten it figured out on my little iPhone here, my man. But I tell you what, it has been interesting. And Tiger did not look like he wanted to continue play the next couple of days. It'll be brutal for him. But it was pretty cool that he got that 23rd cut, you know, and he's tied with Freddie Couples and Lefty for consecutive cuts made. And I know that's a minimal achievement on his part, but I think it's still significant, don't you?
Well, Tiger revealed earlier in the week something that he thought that his last year performance in the Masters, making his 22nd cut and playing on the weekend and actually finishing 72 holes, was his greatest achievement to date since he got injured. And that's saying a lot. He's in a lot of pain. You can see it on his face. It's cold, it's wet, it's not going to be optimal conditions. So I think that it is a great achievement that he tied Gary Player and Fred Couples for 23 consecutive cuts made. Now, next year, he'll have a chance to break that record. So we'll see what happens.
Well, on top of that leaderboard right now from FSU, of course, is Brooks Koepka, and a lot of conversation regarding that because of his move to LIV. He sits on top at 12 under. John Rahm got within one stroke, but fell back on 18, and he's sitting at 10 under. Here's the story of the weekend. I think one of the great stories, the amateur Sam Bennett. He's sitting at 8 under in third place, the Texas A&M college player. Now, that's an impressive story, my friend.
Well, that is. You know, in fact, in the Masters app where you play Masters Fantasy, you get to pick an American player, you get to pick an international player, you get to pick a past champion, and then you pick a wild card. But then the tiebreaker is the amateurs, and they set this whole thing up in a Stableford point system, where the amateurs, actually, if they make a bogey or worse, it doesn't count against them like it would for the pros. And Sam Bennett has done something very remarkable, you know, sitting up there in the top 10, the leaderboard, third place after two rounds of golf. That hasn't been done for quite a while. But I know that Ricky Fowler did it one time, and there's a few other Masters champions as amateurs did that. So I think that That's a player to watch, and actually, I think that he's not going to wilt. Of course, the weather's going to be tough. This is going to be a wild card weekend in the sense that you have to learn, you have to be able to play really well in the rain. You know, I'm not going to look for someone to win the tournament that I'm going to name right now, but I'm going to look for lower scores in the weekend for Shane Lowry or Victor Hovland and some of the European players, even John Rahm. They're used to playing in bad weather, and I think they're going to be able to. This golf course is going to be an absolute beast. It's going to be playing very, very long. Even the pros this morning, they couldn't get a tee shot more than 260 yards off the tee. It hits, it stops, no rollout.
It's going to be a U.S. Open type flavor and scoring. Victor Hovland sits at fourth place. He's accustomed to the cooler conditions, but he didn't play well when he came back this morning. He's sitting at 6 under. Colin Morikawa, 6 under as well. Cam Young, 5 under. Jason Day, he's still playing very well these days. He's at 5 under. Then you go Sam Burns, Jordan Spieth, they're all at 5 under. Gary Woodland. Here's the cat that he's quietly making news, and no one's really paying attention. I think they're starting to. Lefty Phil Mickelson, is he 53 now? He's sitting at 4 under, tied for 10th, and with Gary Woodland. And I've got mixed emotions on it, but he seemed so humbled when he got there. He didn't say two words at the dinner, Scottie Scheffler's unique feast, and now he's talked about the fact that he is going to, without a shadow of a doubt, he says I'm going to go lower. He says I'm absolutely going to go lower. I've got a round out there in 67, 65. I don't know if he was alluding to this weekend by any stretch of the imagination, but he certainly was predicting that his game is back.
Well, it is, you know, and I think that when you start looking down this leaderboard, one of the key things about the Masters is the fact that your past champions do play into contention, seems like, regularly, because not because the field might be a little bit smaller, just the fact that you call them horses for courses, and obviously if you've won the Masters before, you know the golf course very well, and that really, really gives you an edge, you know, the experience on the greens, and also when to go for it, when not to, and how to play through a variety of conditions. So it is a star-studded leaderboard. You know, Brooks Koepka, you know, being the live golfer, now he's leading the Masters. You know, I think this might be his year. He is playing extremely well. Now, he didn't have to play through the bad conditions this morning. He had the optimal pairing, and he went pretty low. John Rahm, though, I'd look for John to win the tournament because he went out there and played in very tough conditions late yesterday and early this morning. He's only two behind. Of course, you have the amateur Sam Bennett. But you just go down the list. Morikawa, Hovland, Day, Burns, Spieth, Young, Woodland, Mickelson, Neiman, Rose. I mean, they're all playing very, very well. And in this tournament, if you're within 10 shots of the lead going into the third round on moving day, you know, you throw a 3 or 4 under par, and some of the players will back up a little bit, especially on a tough weather day like it's going to be today. I think that you're going to have quite a shootout for Sunday on the back nine at Augusta.
A couple of quick stories, and then we're going to talk to Lynn Strickler, the Growler, and he's going to give us some history of being a caddy in these conditions, which is absolutely brutal. How about Freddie Couples? Boom Boom. In fact, Lynn was on his bag, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But Boom Boom. Boom Boom actually made the cut, and I just love those kind of stories when you look at this event. You know, the former winner's coming back, 63 years young, and coming back. And Lynn Strickler's got a little comment on Freddie Couples.
Well, I told Freddie a couple of days ago, if he makes the cut, he's got one thing over Bernhard Langer. That's the only thing. He's the oldest guy to make the cut.
The oldest. Fabulous.
He's got the Bernhard by 3 months and 5 days.
See, that's the kind of information you get from a guy that was looping up the Masters and Augusta for decades, and we'll get right to that. One other storyline that I saw, and my buddy Zach Johnson, he made the cut. That made me happy. We're going to talk to Mark Egli about 11:30 on that topic. Bryson DeChambeau, at one time he said, for me, that Augusta is a par 67. He's about 18 over in the last 3 years from that particular number. And you almost got to feel sorry for the guy. That somebody needs to work on it. When he opens that pie hole of his, he needs to be a little more cautious.
I think Greg Norman took his vocal cords out because he ain't talking much anymore.
Well, we're going to have some humor here, John Rager. Why don't you say hello to Lynn?
Hey, Lynn, how you doing, man? It's a real pleasure to have you on the Tee Florida Golf Radio. I can tell you that my buddy there, Mike, is always giving me a Lynn Growler story, and I'm looking forward to hearing a little bit of your wit and wisdom about some of these players out there that have played in the Masters or maybe even playing in the Masters. I don't know if you've caddied for anybody that's still playing, but... just love to hear those stories, and
John,
it's a pleasure to have you.
Have you ever played the Masters Field?
Pardon?
You never got to play there?
No, I've never played at Augusta National, you know, and it's one of those things that I've never even had the opportunity. You know, in fact, Fred Ridley, I played competitive golf with Fred as a junior golfer and college golfer and amateur golfer. We kept waiting for an invite to go there when he got into the big time, but I don't feel bad because his pro of 35 years, he was retired, Gil Gonzalez from Palma Sea in Tampa, never got the invite either, so I don't feel snubbed anymore since Gil didn't get the invite.
Let's do an introduction, Lynn, for all of our audience, and we've expanded now. Lynn, the Growler Strickler, it's kind of a unique label they gave him years ago. How many years were you out there looping on the PGA and worldwide as well?
Started in 72, had to go to college for 4 years to get my GI Bill, and when Crenshaw started getting outdriven by me, I knew it was time to retire.
So what year did you retire?
Well, since nobody's hired me back, I'm ready to go, but nobody will have me.
So you're still waiting in the wings there and for that potential.
No, Ben stopped playing in 06 or so, and that's been about it.
Okay, so how many times were you at Augusta and Lupin and the Masters?
Well, we started in 83. They let the pros bring their own caddies in, and I've worked 10 or 12, not really sure how many. But back in the day, after making the cut, if you finished top 24, you were invited back the next year. So there was another cut on Sunday growling in to try to get top 24.
Beautiful. And you were on Freddie's bag. You were on Ben Crenshaw's. You were on Curtis Strange.
I don't claim him.
I know. I told that to John.
We won't. Stadler.
Yeah. Oh, the Walrus. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I love the Wally. And Bruce Litsky never gets. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He was so cool. And honestly, I would work for anybody that would have me.
Let's talk about Boomer and his career, and you know, the years you were on his bag in the early years. But it's kind of great to see him still out there performing today, and all the younger players, they love him because he's such a laid back cat.
He's an inspiration, and if you could bottle a golf swing and sell it, it would be Freddie's. Sometimes he doesn't have both hands on the club. It's the most effortless move. Grip pressure knows nothing about it. He's never worn a golf club in his career. Never had a golf club on.
Hey, let's talk about what they're going to face the next 2 days, because you and I talked off the air. They want to give the audience a perspective, because I was watching this morning because you told me, and those caddies, you got to wiping down the clubs. You're making sure that your golfer is dry. Talk about the whole process and how much more pressure it puts on a caddy and under these circumstances.
It's at least 10 times more difficult if there's an umbrella up. And you're trying to keep stuff dry. I mean, that's all there is to it. All about the yardage and stuff, that is almost secondary to making sure you can get your hands on the grip and hitting it properly.
John?
I tell you what, Lynn, with all these famous golfers that you've caddied for, what was the most unusual thing that you've seen out of all of them, from them? And I'm not talking about just, you know, feats on the golf course. I'm just talking about something different that our listeners could glean from, the kind of what made them different.
Oh, boy, what a question. Each and every one are different. Curtis Strange could not stand a bogey. You can almost guarantee he's going to birdie a couple of the next couple of holes. Bruce Litsky was the first guy with the long putter. He would throw that thing like a javelin. He broke it one day in Muirfield. He had driver, putted with the driver, made eagle, and hit driver three times.
Hey, you know, what's really interesting about Bruce Litsky, and, you know, being a teaching professional, I can tell you that one of the things that generally is thought about when you look at these guys is talking about the plane of their swing. They're talking about where you have a lot of players that can actually take that golf club way outside and drop it down into the slot or drop it into plane, you know, like a Jim Furyk and a few
others. Freddie's all time on that. Freddie reroutes it all the time.
Well, you know, Bruce Litsky was one of the few that actually, and he was actually, it was almost like an old-timer swing. It was almost like a Jackie Burke type of swing where, you know, absolutely, he would just take it inside and come a little over the top, and he would hit just that beautiful fade all day long.
That's the only shot he had. He had a 3-wood he could draw or hook, but otherwise, he played it left to right every single time.
Yeah, he was awesome, too. I remember, you know, I know he's deceased now, but I remember hanging around him and playing a little bit, and he was just so natural, and he worked at it. You know, people thought we didn't really practice. He practiced here and there, but he didn't really go at it too hard because, you know what, he didn't change a thing, just you got to dance with who you brought, is what Sam Snead said. And that's what he did. And, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, just play that little left or right shot all day. That way you keep it in the fairway, you keep it on the green.
I mean, when he practiced, he was a closet practicer.
You know, Lynn, when, you know, Mike was telling me a little bit about your some of the stories you had. And one of the stories that came to mind for me was I used to, when I was younger, I was in college, I used to pick up a bag or two for some mini tour players, you know, before you had the Corn Ferry or the Web.com or Hogan Tour, whatever you call it. Now is that I caddied for this guy who was a golf hustler, and his name was Leon Crump, and he was from North Carolina. And I remember, you know, I don't know if you ever heard of him or not.
I've heard of him, yes.
But Leon, first time I ever caddied for like a pro. So I'm in college. I have no idea. I've had caddies for me, but I've never had to carry the bag. So I meet him at the car and everything, and he's giving me his rules and instructions and this, that, and the other. Ruffy little guy, you know. And he says, whatever you do not reach in that lower part of the bag. Don't reach your hand in there at all. And I'm like, yes, sir. And so I had to ask the stupid question, like, well, what's in the lower part of your bag? And he goes, it's a loaded 45. Don't touch it.
I knew it was a pistol. Oh, boy. It was a pistol. Jim King. Remember that Jim King? Some of these guys had Burt Green. They had loaded weapons in the car if you messed with them.
Oh, I played the Florida Open with Jim King one year. And this was, he was known as a boxer. And I can tell you, Jim was, people were scared to death of him because, there was times he'd get in altercations on the golf course sometimes, had a terrible reputation. And I was scared to death when I played with him. He won the Florida Open that year. But I can tell you, he was actually a sweetheart. He was really fun to play with. He was a nice guy. But, man, his reputation.
Did you ever meet Jim King?
What's that?
Jim King? Did you ever cross paths with him?
That's who I'm talking about, Jim King. I'm talking about the touring pro, mini tour pro, won the Florida Open one year. That's what I'm talking about when I played with. But he scared me to death from his reputation.
I'll tell you what, he went to the driving range and he took down J.C. Sneed one day. J.C. was like Mr. Bad Boy, and this guy just cleaned his clock on the range one time.
Beat the hell out of him physically?
A couple of right crosses.
Hey, I got another story about this. It's not a caddy story, but I'm playing in my first U.S. Open qualifying. I'm like 16 years old, and there's a buddy of mine named Tom McCrary. He's playing ahead of me. And there's this African-American player named Cowboy, big, stocky, heavy guy. And I'm standing on the tee on this par three, and I look ahead, and there's Tom, and Tom's waving his arms. And I look, and Cowboy's got a gun pointed right at Tom's head. And I'm standing on the tee, and I'm going, what the hell's going on? It was like the 17th hole we were playing. You play off one or 10.
Qualifier?
So I'm standing there, and I see that's my best friend of all, in high school there. I'm standing there, and he's got a gun pointed at his head. So then, so I'm standing there, and then, Cowboy puts the gun back away, and Tom, goes to his cart. They putt out. They play the 18th hole together, and I'm looking at this like, what the hell's going on? Is this what professional golf's about? I know it's a rough and tumble sport, but this is ridiculous. And sure, and they didn't have cell phones in those days. Sure enough, well, the police were there on the 18th green, and they arrested Cowboy, took him away, and Tom finished his round of golf. Neither one of us qualified, but he finished his round of golf. But just imagine, a guy points a gun at your head, but you play that next hole together, like nothing ever happened.
You're scared stiff. How do you draw that?
Only on the Tee Florida, folks, can you get stories like this from behind the scenes with John Rigger, PGA of America teaching professional, and longtime and successful, extremely successful caddy Lynn Strickler, and he's sharing stories with us. So when you look at this leaderboard today, I know you were watching earlier this morning, Lynn, and I was, and so John, with bated breath. Did you get that feeling that was going to be three over? And you're gonna see this just continue, like John said. There's gonna be U.S. Open type scores by the end of play on Sunday.
Well, with 15 minutes left, they said if Jason Thomas bogeyed one hole, they let all the plus four threes in. He went ahead and bogeyed them both and missed the cut himself because his buddy Tiger Woods is in.
Well, I was gonna say, you think he did that favor for Tiger?
No, I think Bones should have stayed out of his ear.
How much in your players' ears did you ever get back in the day? Like let's say Freddie, he was young. Were you providing him a lot of advice, or you just let him go on his own and then sit back and make an assessment?
Well, for one thing, he's not too sharp in arithmetic, so he never had a yardage book. Whatever number I fed him, he bought it. And then whatever club he wanted, I'd go, I like that one too.
So you know how to deal with Freddie back in the day.
You bet. He was so full of talent, and he played. Sometimes you play better when you don't over an ally. I mean, he never talked. Jordan Spieth talks more in one tournament than Freddie talked in his career.
You know, Mike, one of the things, and Len knows this the expression, but the caddies today are just like, I don't know, they're like psychologists, they're mathematicians, they're spiritual leaders, it's unbelievable. Like Bones, I mean, I don't know how you can hit a shot after all that, banting back and forth, but some players like it. But back in the day, and Len can testify this, all you wanted a caddy to do was show up, pick up, and
out
shut
of
up.
Way. No, Bones, I mean, some of these caddies these days, they emulate their position. They really going to tell or misinform this guy? If you think it's right edge, I think it's left edge. That's the last thing you want to do. And if I was a pro, I don't want any caddy changing my mind at that time.
Well, you're right. If there's just a little bit of doubt. And then what happens, too, is you got to be careful. You're the one they're going to blame, and rightly so. You know, hey,
rightly so, exactly.
Yeah, rightly
I'm
so,
staying
baby.
As far away. Here's the putter. I'll see you on the next tee. Is my approach right here.
Hey, Len, I'm sure this happens, but have you ever had any one of your Hall of Fame players out there break a club in the middle of the round deliberately?
Stadler, Litsky. Strange, almost Hall of Famers. Stadler in Pebble Beach was so soggy out there when he had a tomahawk throw from over his shoulders. That thing would go halfway into the turf at Cypress. It took me a divot, looks like a flounder. I got to go that thing. Then I got to get this club out of the ground.
Hey, we got to take a break, fellas. We'll be back on the Tee Florida sharing some great stories from Augusta and his decades of looping up there with Lynn Strickler. We'll talk to Mark Egli a little bit later about Zach making the Johnson making the cut and his 2007 breakthrough. We'll be back here on the Tee Florida live from the Fergs 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure Bait Super Scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida on this 79th Masters weekend, this Easter weekend. And we're blessed to have Lynn Strickler. And, of course, these conversations are brought to you by our good partners at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they have breakfast each and every day over there in Blind Pass on over on Sunset Beach, right in my neighborhood. And, of course, pouring a little ice pick vodka. I highly recommend a Bloody Mary or a nice screwdriver on a Easter weekend, and make certain that you get yourself some ice pick vodka with that as well. Great conversation. When we got Lynn Strickler here, I'm looking at some of these things. We'll bring Mark Egli into the conversation. He's going to love some of these stories. Of course, Lynn Strickler was a caddy up in Augusta many times, and he can remember 10 or 12 loops. But he also, I'm looking at this, John and Mark, and Sports Illustrated, he had caddy cam, and this is 1983. And here's a little statement. He's got his picture, and pretty cool. I love working the Masters. My first was 1983, in the days when the caddies were such a big deal that even walk across Washington Road in our white jumpsuits and get a good table at the Green Jacket restaurant. And you know, he's got all kinds of stories. And one of the things that we're talking about is the weather conditions. And tell the people in 1983, because they alluded to 1983 today, that they may have to finish on Monday, and that was a brutal year. Share that a little bit with our audience.
Well, basically, that was the first year that the pros could bring their own caddies in, and because of the fact in 82, the prior year, there was a major rain delay. On Saturday morning, none of other caddies had a chance to get the information of when they're going to restart. So half of them showed up late. They had cooks and drivers caddying with you guys, and the pros erupted, and we were able to do it the next year. And that's what started that.
How many hours were you out there, did you say, consecutively?
Well, I was staying in Evans, a good 20 miles away. I slept in my car. I didn't keep that jumpsuit was on my body for 40 straight hours.
Well, those were conditions that they're going to experience today and tomorrow at the 79th Masters. And there's a gentleman that knows a little bit about it. He's a teaching professional, the best in the state of Iowa. My good friend, Mark Egli, and I appreciate you taking time. I know it's your favorite time of the year, favorite weekend of the year, and seeing Zach make the cut was just superb. We're talking about Freddie Couples, and Lynn was on his bag, but for us, seeing Zach make the cut, this year's Ryder Cup captain, is another nice achievement for Zach at his age, Mark Egli, and I'm sure you were following him closely.
Yeah, it's nice. Zach moved up 20-some spots yesterday, and I don't think he had to get up this morning and play in the wind and the rain. And I think that was an advantage with what all these guys are having to go through today. And it's great to see these guys make the cut, and great to see Fred Couples play so well.
Hey, Mike, remember me, Growler here?
Mark.
Yep.
Eggling?
Yep, Mark Eggly.
Yeah,
we used to be.
It's great hearing the story about how the caddies came to the Masters. I didn't know that story till you just told it.
Classic. And it looked like, I go, what did we ask for here? We're begging to get there. Finished on Monday. We started in the dark, finished in the dark. 30 holes later, I've never been more tired in my life.
Well, to carry those big bags around for years and years and years, like when every time I see Fluff Cowan, I still can't believe I don't know if he's soon to retire, but how he was able to do that all those years and then under rough conditions, making it even more difficult. So I admire you guys so much.
Well, I'll tell you a short one right here. Now, those bags in the early days are made out of leather, and you needed to keep dry towels. Now all the head covers or bag covers are made out of nylon. That water will seep through that. It's just a whole game of keeping things dry out there.
Yeah, and then as a player, I was always more concerned with keeping my hands dry. And And how about you guys had to worry about keeping Raptors? Everything dry.
Yeah, I've never wanted an umbrella. I go, here's the umbrella. I'll sacrifice myself out here.
Yeah. To play this game, the scores are not going to be great today because it looks like they're going to play in a bunch of crap all day long. And we have nice weather in Des Moines, Iowa today.
Hey, Mark, I got a question for you since you know Zach pretty well and since you guys are from Iowa. One of the things in the Masters this year, I was telling us our listeners earlier about the Masters app where you have your fantasy golf and you can pick up to 8 players and you can go ahead and you can replace a player if they miss the cut and things like that. And it's a stable fortuitous system. So what happens is when you pick somebody, it doesn't necessarily mean just because you pick the person wins the tournament that you're going to win your fantasy golf amongst your own little league. But one of the things you want to think about in your Masters picks is the fact that Zach probably plays well in bad weather because Iowa, the weather's not as good as it is in sunny Florida here. Do you think that's going to be any factor for our listeners out there playing fantasy golf that they should go ahead and pick Zach because he might be a better bad weather player?
Okay. In 2007, the conditions are similar, and Zach Johnson was the winner in 2007. Fast forward a few years later at the British Open, and with Jordan Spieth and Zach in the running there, it was a day similar to what we're seeing today, maybe not as much rain. And who won? The guy that hits the hard, soft little draw, low down the middle of the fairway, and he hits wedges better than everyone else. And his teacher is Mike Bender, and Mike is, one of the kids I spent some time with when he was younger. And we were talking about wedges. And Zach has made some he's gone back to the Zach wedges that he used when he was beating everyone. And Mike and him have been working harder on wedges. And the ball's not going to be as close to the hole for everybody today as it was yesterday. And it means you're going to be pitching the ball more often. And the guy that can pitch the ball really well is Zach Johnson. He's got control of the wedge.
Mark, you mentioned Mike Bender. Mike is a very famous teaching professional, and especially in our part of the neck of the woods here in the North Florida area, where, he's based down in Orlando. And we call getting Benderized because he actually is a wonderful teacher. And for our listeners out there, if you go follow him on Instagram, he posts lessons out there. He posts what he's doing with students out there. He's very giving and sharing of his information. And I tell you what, people swear by his ability to take not only, accomplished players, but just an average golfer and Benderize them. And he's been the PGA of America National Teacher of the Year. I first met Mike back in the early 80s when he was on the tour. I remember his claim to fame was not so much as a player, but he was telling me about, I remember he was one of these four guys, I forgot who it was, I don't know if it was Mark Wiebe, him, a few others that all made a hole-in-one at the U.S. Open on the same day.
Really?
Yeah, I have to go Google that up because there's a picture in Golf Digest with them all throwing a ball up, sitting together, but Mike was playing in a tournament down in Tampa, and I remember that he told me his claim of fame. But also, at one of the when he became PGA Professional of the Year for teaching, he was telling me as soon as he got off the tour, whatever club he started working at Iowa, he never gave a lesson in his life. The pro sent him out there on his first day at work for the summer junior golf program. So he takes 20 kids out to the driving range. One kid takes the first swing, hits Mike right in the head, gives him 20 stitches. So Mike realized at that point that he had a lot to learn about teaching, especially where to stand.
That was 1986, and Mike was working at Sunnyside Country Club in Waterloo, Iowa.
There you go.
So Mike is an Iowan too, but now I don't see any ego into this, but because of Mike Bender, he won the 1980 NCAA Division III championship at the course I was the head pro on. And they sent out, you guys as broadcasters will love this. ESPN was a brand new company. And they're covering the NCAA tournament where Mike ends up winning the tournament. They send out two hockey announcers for the Rangers and the Islanders. that have never been on a golf course before. And hours before the tournament went on the air, they saw that I was working on the range hitting wedges with the leader, Mike Bender. And they said, do you mind coming on air with us and be our color commentator? So because of Mike Bender, I became the first color commentator for ESPN Golf in 1980. So Bender brings back so many great memories. He was such a great young man. And he's over, it's like Lake St. Mary. It's kind of Orlando, but it's St. Mary's. And Mike is just one of the super teachers. And, you know, he really took Zach Johnson's game to a whole different level. And I'm so glad he's playing well in the Masters today. And let's see him make a move on the up. And I don't wish anybody bad weather, but if the bad weather stays, you're going to see our Ryder Cup champion rise on the leaderboard.
All right, Mark. So give me a prediction for his Saturday, Sunday scores for our folks playing fantasy golf out there. If they have to switch out a player, a lot of us picked Roy McIlroy as part of our four picks. In the Masters app, you can pick an American player, an international player, a past champion, and a wild card player. And then you use the amateurs as your tiebreaker. I picked Sam Bennett. I was very happy with that. But,
oh, my goodness.
But most of us picked Roy McIlroy, and he missed the cut. So, you know, so some of us are thinking, well, maybe we should put Zach in there because he does, I know he can play good and bad weather. But give me a number for the weekend. Is he going to be under 70 either round? What do you think?
Let's say he shoots 5-under for the weekend.
5-under. That would be pretty stout. In fact, I know he's sitting at plus one. He's like 40th right now. That could almost move him up into the top 10 if the weather's going to be as bad as we think it is.
Very, very much so.
And listen, on the Tee Florida, we're talking to Mark Egli from the great state of Iowa and up on Crescent Beach, Florida. John Rager, a couple of superb PGA of America teaching professionals that are kind enough, two pros and a hack to carry me on this Easter Saturday. And John, we let Lynn head over to the beverage table down here at the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. But it was a great conversation with the Growler Strickler. But, you know, Mark Egli, you played at Michigan State, and you're very accustomed to playing in these type of conditions. I wonder who you've got earmarked that you think will walk away with the green jacket after this weekend.
You're asking me that question?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me one second. I think, you know, the great experience. I don't have a big love of the LIV Golf. But the only player that I have a personal relationship with on that is Brooks Koepka. And he was so nice to me. He was so nice to Sean McCarty's son. And I know the reason he went to LIV Golf, because he thought his career was over. And I just think that he has the ability to play great. And I think that John Rahm and him may go head-to-head here. And they're both strong players that can drive the ball low, and trajectory will be a big deal this weekend. I would go first with him, and I know they're sitting 1 and 2, but I think they have the pizzazz to do it. And for people out there that may not like LIV Golf, give Brooks Koepka a second chance, because I think he thought his career was over, and to turn down tens of millions of dollars would have been financially irresponsible. But I'd like to see what Sam Bennett can do.
Well, you know, Mark, I agree with your top two picks there with Brooks and John. And the reason I agree with that is because they are super, super physical specimens when it comes to being golfers. You know, they're just a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, a little bit more stamina. And I think that's what's going to take over the weekend, since that golf course is going to be wet, playing very long. You know, and a lot of our listeners out there, if you've never been to Augusta, I remember the first time I went out there, gosh, this is probably late 70s. And what struck me, because you didn't really see it on television, in fact, television covers it a little bit better now. You can see a lot of the undulations, but I didn't realize how hilly it was. But I remember walking all the way down to Amen Corner to see those holes. It's quite a walk to get back up to the clubhouse. It's at least a two-beer walk to get back up the hill, back to the parking lot.
It absolutely is. And another player that fits into that mold, and you can pick him on your foreign team, is Shane Lowry. Don't be surprised if he turns it on this weekend.
Yeah, since he's Open champion, you know, he's from, I believe he's from Ireland. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And I tell you, in fact, they had a really great, one night on the Golf Channel, they had a really good documentary about him and his little hometown and his friends and where he grew up playing and stuff, and he's still there, is there. And anytime an Open champion's in this field is playing fairly decent, they absolutely know how to play in this weather. In fact, they're more comfortable in this weather than they probably are in a hot, sunny day.
Absolutely. The wind's been known to blow over there in Ireland.
Well, Mark Egli, I look forward to continued conversations. I always like to bring you into the mix, I know it's your favorite weekend. I remember back in the day up there that Judd and Chris Winkle and several of the guys would just basically, from Thursday through Sunday, they'd hunker down in one of the clubhouses, and you did not interrupt them. You did not ask them for lessons, because This is like a sacred weekend for them, the Masters, and I know it is for all the PGA of America teaching professionals out there, as well as the incredible fan base that watches this event.
It's glory in the game of golf, and it's even the non-public loves the Masters. You know, the non-public that's not big into golf, they watch the Masters like they watch the NCAA basketball tournament. And aren't we all going to miss Jim Nance if he's done his final four and his final Masters? He's a favorite.
He said yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show in a conversation that he asked him directly, is this, you know, when's going to be your last Masters? Jim Nance said, I want to do my 50th. Ken Venturi had told him when he was a young kid, you will end up doing 50, and he'll be 76 years old. And with those pipes and his youthfulness, I think he'll hit that 50 mark. And
that was good
news that we're not going to lose him for the Masters, because, as he said, a tradition unlike any other. And he's that guy, and he certainly was in March Madness. Speaking of March Madness, if you picked Rory McIlroy, that was kind of like picking Alabama to win the national championship on your fantasy.
Or Purdue.
John,
well, you know, and I can tell you, Sam Bennett, though, was like picking Florida Atlantic, though, the Owl. So it all evens out.
You got
somehow.
That right, brother. All right, Mark, you have a great Easter weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You
I appreciate
too.
You joining us. What's the temperatures up there in God's country, Des Moines, right now?
We're going to push close to 70 today, and it's sunshine and no wind. So Augusta would love to be in Des Moines
wow.
today.
Yeah, yeah. Augusta should be in Des Moines. All right, my man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Mark Egli, always a great contribution. And I liked your input there, John Rager, on my boy Zach Johnson. I'm just going to say, Zach, top 10. How about that?
Well, if Mark's prediction is correct and he goes for 5-under, you know, 5-under might be the lowest score of the weekend. And that would certainly move you up into the top 10. But,
Strickland thinks I'm nuts here.
Shooting at the moon.
Strickland just said, I'm shooting at the moon with my Zach Johnson. That's just an emotional pick.
Well, you know, I mean, Zach is, he's just an all-around great guy, and he's going to be the Ryder Cup captain. Just recently on PJTour.com, they had a nice article about Zach preparing for the Ryder Cup, and obviously Davis Love, who's been a successful Ryder Cup captain, you know, give him some hints and stuff. And it's interesting because you think, how hard is it to be a Ryder Cup captain? But it is, because it's a distraction in a lot of ways, especially because you have picks. You have to be able to keep your eye on everybody and pick them. And everybody wants to be on the Ryder Cup, and everybody thinks they should be on the Ryder Cup if they're having a fairly decent year. But it's hard also not only to be the Ryder Cup captain, but to maintain your game currently out on the tour. Now, you know, I mean, Zach's in his 40s now, and so, you know, he's closer to the Champions Tour than he is actually the PGA Tour, so he's got to go out and still maintain his game, play on the tour, and also try to be the Ryder Cup captain. But, you know, it's in Italy this year, and it's Luke Donald is the English captain. He's the European captain. Of course, he's from England, and it's just going to be a great Ryder Cup later in the year in Italy.
Lynn Strickler here. Ben Crenshaw didn't make a cut after he found out he'd be the 99 Ryder Cup captain. It affected his entire life. And how about those shirts?
The shirts from 99, those were hideous. And you were a caddy captain on that team. And
Bruce Edwards and I. Bruce Edwards.
And you and Bruce Edwards. Well, John, you got anything you want to wind down? We got about 3 minutes here. Thank you very much, Lynn Strickler, for joining us and sharing your stories, brother, and bringing down some of your Sports Illustrated memories.
I love talking to your large audience, Mike, and thanks for having me.
Thanks very much. Lynn the Growler Strickler. Google him, folks. Had an incredible career on the bags of many Hall of Famers.
Well, Mike, I just in closing, I just want to remind everybody that we have a wonderful website on the tfloridagolf.com. You can go there and visit, click on our sponsor link. You can click on our homepage, and it shows you some of the folks are involved with. You know, we didn't talk too much about them this week because the Masters just kind of overrides everything. But we got Tom Gribben, we got Patty Suzette, and we got Kerry McNally. Tom is a famous author and entertainer, and Kerry is a famous Emmy winning comedian and producer. And plus, Patty is actually a wonderful artist, famous artist, and she's going to be our celebrity beverage cart gal. So if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, you'll see that. Plus, you also see some of the highlights from the On the Tee Florida John Rager Report. Every day we post something and a link of something of interest for our viewers out there, listeners out there on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And so I try to post something fairly interesting every year, every day that you would enjoy listening to or looking at or linking to. So with that, Mike, I just wanted to remind everybody about our social media, about our website. And down the road, Mike and I have been talking about a golf tournament. We're trying to formulate the theme of it right now. But about 6 months from now, we're going to have our own On the Tee Florida golf tournament. And we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely looking forward to it. And we'll put that in conjunction with a charity fundraiser. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm looking forward to the next couple of days, hunkering down. I'm sure Karen's accustomed to your MO on Masters weekends. That you will, well, the beauty that today, if you have YouTube, I'm walking around with my Masters coverage in my pocket, and I've enjoyed every second of that.
Well, you know, and Karen's leading our Backyard Golf Association while Bill Soreau's league he put together, and I hope she makes her pick soon, because guess what? I think 12 o'clock is the cutoff. I've been texting and having friends trying to call her to make sure she replaces Rory. She's leading the league, or she was just going to miss the cut if she doesn't replace him. So, Karen, if you're listening, anybody, let her know. Please replace Rory. Make your pick before 12 o'clock.
Well, great conversations with you, John, and of course, Mark Egley, Lynn the Growler Strickler on this 79th Masters weekend. And I look forward to expanding our reach, buddy. We're getting there, and we're expanding our guest list so we can provide the entire state of Florida with On the Tee Florida and all your insight. And we'll have a lot of fun and a lot of humor. Have a happy Easter, my man.
You too. Have a wonderful Easter, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. So for John Rager, I'm Mike Rickard. Of course, Lynn the Growler Strickler, Mark Egley, and Matt up on the controls, Joe Bardot at RadioSt.Pete.com. Have a superb Easter, and as always, keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.